The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, thank you for being with me today. I have on the line a man that I have loved and respected more years than I can even think, going all the way back to when I would have first heard about Alex and met him in the 70s. And that's the length of time that he's had just an impact on me, but longer for many, many more people. I'm talking to somebody that I count as a city father among the churches in Orlando, and that is Alex Clattenburg, pastor of the Church in the Sun, and before that, Calvary Assembly. Alex, what an honor for me to have you on my program. Thank you for taking the time today to be with me.
Well, Mike, it is a great honor to be with you and to be a part of your audience and to honor the Lord and talk about how great God is.
Well, He is great. And when I first met you, you were the leader of the Rock House. That itself is worthy of an entire program. I'm telling you, the impact the Rock House had on Central Florida is no small thing. But before we get into all of that, tell me how you came to know the Lord originally and how it is that you made the way to Orlando.
Well, I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. So my whole life I was in the church. I was so focused on somehow being in business that I ended up graduating from the University of Maryland in economics and finance. And during that whole time, I was probably a typical church kid. And I can remember having a real experience on a Sunday night with the Lord where my dad had an 8 o'clock service and I came up and fell on my knees and really gave my life to the Lord. However, I was very focused on business. I was very spiritual. I wanted to be a millionaire. So I ended up, my dad was called into the ministry when he was very, very young. And he said, I was walking down the street. I was called by God. Well, I don't know that I was called. I was kind of like called but drafted. Mm-hmm. Because I never wanted to be in ministry. It was never my dream. And so I ended up in business. I was with a Fortune 500 company and doing very, very well. And somehow I ended up hearing that Disney was coming to Florida. And so I thought, that sounds good. And so I ended up just coming down here. I ended up with Florida Ranchlands, who put all the land together for Disney.
You had something to do with that whole, yeah. It was kind of like an undercover acquisition.
It was a clandestine operation. And so I ended up there working with investors, and we used to syndicate large property land. And I was attending a Calvary Assembly, kind of. One day the pastor said to me, Eddie Barg, he said, would you take over the youth ministry here? So this was my process of, quote, the call. It was like me kind of being in business, loving it, making great money. And like God bringing pastors to me that would say, hey, would you do this? I didn't really have any heart for young people, but he was a nice guy. And I thought, oh, okay. So that was the beginning of really being involved here in Orlando in ministry, where the Lord started to use me.
So, you know, you're putting together all these clandestine deals with Disney, and then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, your destiny, the calling that God had on your life years ago, isn't that just like God to bring something, you know, you're one of those guys to where the will of the Lord ran over you, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it was even, Mike, backing up, even before I came here, I was with this company, and I'd go from here, Jacksonville, Savannah, end up North Carolina. My dad would always call the pastor there, because he knew most of them, Assembly of God, and he'd say, my son is in town. Would you get him involved? So I would get involved in each of those churches just because I, you know, wanted to help pastor out a little bit. But yeah, it was one of those broadside deals that I was unaware what the deal was, but it was the Lord setting me into his plan without my planning the event.
My goodness. Now, how long before that call that happened on your life when the pastor at Calvary said, hey, would you come over, help us with the young people, that you actually went full-time from there? How long of a space was that?
Well, I'm hard to deal with, so that ended up like somewhat like a bit over a decade.
That's
so
great.
What I did was I was with Florida Ranch Lands doing all these deals, and then I'm doing this little deal with the Rock House, and we had this little house there across from the main sanctuary, and it was just the house, and that's where we kind of started. And what happened was we started with about 12 kids, and kind of typical restricted young people that have grown up in the church. And I was wondering how are we ever going to do something here? And I really was starting getting excited because if you recall, the Jesus movement was on, mm-hmm. or the hippie movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chuck Smith out in California had kind of this revival had erupted with the Jesus movement on Haight-Ashbury. So I was kind of looking at that, what was happening. And so I started to believe that we could turn these 12 kids into like a movement. And I remember we eventually had one young person, long hair, on drugs, came to Christ. And the kids were like, oh my God, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of started. And the movement there was not like in the church. It was like out of the church. And then all these really long-haired young people started to come. And you know what's funny, Mike? I'm like suit, tie, businessman, and I have starched jeans. God just came in and gave me favor and gave me a heart to do that while I'm doing this other, you know, work, which was very significant. But it was the Holy Spirit kind of surreptitiously moving me gradually, because he knew that if at one time with me, because I'm so difficult, he would say, I want you to quit everything now. I'd say, not today. So it was a gradual thing. And then when the thing started to erupt, I mean, it was out of hand. It was just, it was in fact a movement, a Jesus movement.
It was indeed. And when we get back, we'll hear more about how that movement really just kind of like took off like a rocket over at Cape Canaveral. And it took a lot of people up with it. And I was one of those from afar, living in Indiana, but being impacted by your work in Orlando. So stay with me. I've got Alex Clattenburg, pastor of Church in the Sun. We're going to be back with Alex coming up in just a moment. On the line today with Alex Clattenburg, and Alex was the originator. He didn't know he was the originator, but he was. He was part of a movement that was developed in Central Florida, and I did not realize, Alex, that the Rock House actually met in a house. And so that helps me understand the name. I was never really sure of that exact story. But you started that youth movement at through Calvary Assembly. But again, it encompassed so many more people than just Central Florida's Calvary Assembly. You became an influence of people around the world and started off with 12 people meeting in a home. And here you are. I love your description. You're in a suit and tie and getting to minister to all these kids that were in tie-dyes and jeans and long hair and hippies. And like you said, some of them were on drugs. And God was doing a true revolution right before your eyes. That had to be crazy for you to behold.
Yeah, it really was. And as we moved along on that, I really learned about some other movements that were happening in America. So I've always liked to go and investigate and learn so I can be a part of what's happening. So C.J. Mahaney and Larry Tomczak were doing this ministry in Washington. And so they had like couple thousand young people. So I fly up there, I'm sitting in the back, and all these kids, again, it represented this Jesus movement. I mean, it was like a move of the Spirit. Later, I get on the plane, I go out to California, and Mario Murillo is there, mm-hmm. and he's got Resurrection City, and he's got a couple thousand kids and miracles, and he's on the Berkeley campus. Then I become personal friends of all these people. But it's like the Holy Spirit used that as an impetus for me to see bigger than something traditional or something contained. And so when I came back, I just was expecting more. And we put a real focus on prayer, on discipleship, and really on reaching lost people.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we started to move on those three pillars, after a while, all these kids, they're just bringing their friends. And so we just had really great, great worship, and it really was really cool, moving. And then the Holy Spirit just fell, and we kept seeing people come to Christ. And the more they came to Christ, other kids invited their friends. And it was just absolutely amazing. You know, Mike, you never know exactly what happens. People come to the altars. However, there was one person, his name was Paul Chase. This girl he liked coerced him to come to the Rock House. And so Paul was a bartender, living with a girl and on drugs. And so it ended up, he came and we gave the altar call. He came up, and as he was coming up, he said, God, if this is really real, I want something to happen in my life. And at that point, he said later, I came over and said, young man, God's going to use you. Well, Paul Chase ended up going out to Kenneth Hagin School. And he then was called by God to the Philippines. He's been there for decades. And Paul Chase and Shoddy now, they have a church of many, many, many thousands. They have, I think, 30 different locations in the world. I've been out there twice to speak. But, I mean, it all started that altar call on a Tuesday night. So, I mean, to see what happened from what happened there is actually the bigger picture and the one that is kind of the what God used to see ministries birthed beyond even our ministry here.
Well, I can attest to that, and I you know, I would love your thoughts on, you know, maybe where you were, but just to give you an example of what happened to us, we came down to a conference that you had at the Rock House, and actually the meeting was in Johnson Hall, so that kind of dates and lets you know when this was. This is late 70s, and you're having a youth conference, and a bunch of us from Indiana came down, And at that point in time, we just had a heart for young people. We didn't know how or what that was ever going to look like. But we are sitting in the front, toward the front. And just for the first time, we are exposed to a worship band. It was led by Robert Spradley, and he was playing an acoustic guitar. And I don't even know all of the other musicians that were there that night, but Robert was leading from a guitar and singing the songs of the Rock House. I later had a copy of one of those a cassette tape that you guys put out of original songs that had been written from the Rock House, and that was amazing. But we're sitting there, we're watching, our mouths are open, Alex, and we're just drawn in by the power of God to this wonderful expression of worship to these young people and how everybody was going. The pastor that was with me from our church leaned over and he whispered in my ear and he said, "Sunday night, when we get back to Indiana, you're going to lead our Sunday night worship and it's going to be like this."
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's exactly what happened. And that was in 1978, my entrance into becoming a worship leader was because of being at the Rock House in 1978 and having that kind of, and let me tell you, I wish I'd had a lot more discipleship and training because those early days were kind of rough for me up there in Indiana. I did not have the impetus and all, but God was gracious. And I would just love to know, when you think back now, at what point in time did it happen? Early on, or was it in the middle of all of this move of God? Did you realize just how big of a thing God was doing? Where did that happen in you?
It was gradual, and it was something that just continued to explode. And Mike, I never realized the magnitude until it was over years later. I thought that this was common. I thought this is what you do. And I had no idea really of what was happening. I just was trying to really follow the Lord. And I think talking about maybe some of your listeners there, I'm sure there's one that's kind of unusual like me, kind of independent, kind of like, oh, that's not for me. But again, how God moves us through other people, like my wife, Jeannie, we were going together and she always wanted to be in ministry. And one day she broke up with me and she said, "You know, all you want to do is make $1 million. I want to be in ministry." So it was in those early years right there, the critical years of the Rock House. This is like 72. It was a critical time right there where God really, actually 71, and that she was moving on me to be in ministry. So I had, again, I had these forces coming at me, leaning me that way. And so it was amazing how to see it just kind of like gradually take off. And then to see all these kids baptized in water. We had 6 o'clock prayer meetings in the morning. And it was just unbelievable because these kids were not, they were not church kids. They didn't know Jesus at all, but the atmosphere there was one of the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit at work and you're obedient and you really teach, one thing I learned from CJ Mahaney and also Larry Tomczak, I said, "God, what are they doing?" They had great worship and they just opened their Bible and everybody was taking notes. And I brought that back and I said, "Oh, I guess I just teach the Bible." So, and that's all I did. I really just taught the Bible and tried to make it come alive, but it would be in such a way that they could integrate that into their personal lives. And so anyway,
Well, you did all of that with one other added thing, and that was the hand of God was certainly upon you, my friend. It was an unbelievable revival, an unbelievable beginning. And I don't even know how many thousands of people would look back on those years and say, those were so formative. Those were some of the best. Those were incredible memories. And I got to be saying, I'm one of them. Thank you for all of those years. My guest today is Alex Clattenburg, and he is a significant leader, and God has used him mightily. We're going to be back with Alex. Don't go away. Stay here. This is Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd. Back again with Alex Clattenburg. Boy, I wish we were doing this in our studio where we could have the face-to-face, but doing it with the way we're doing it, it still works fine by me because this is great. Alex, thank you for being with me on my program. Alex was at Calvary Assembly during one of the most amazing, I believe, revivals, and I think everyone involved would agree that it was indeed that we've seen in our lifetime, and that was what spawned the Rock House. And then from the Rock House, Alex, something that was even bigger and broader, and it drew people from all over, this idea of having a Jesus festival. I know that you mentioned the hippie movement, and such movements were going on, such meetings were going on around the country, including Creation. What happened when you that gave you the idea that that could work in Central Florida?
I heard a couple of these that were going on. One was up in Virginia. One was in Pennsylvania, and actually went up to Pennsylvania, and they had one for family. So I came back to Orlando, and I thought, geez, I wonder if we could do one here. And so we were sitting around, some leaders, and we just said, let's do a Jesus festival. And I said, well, I don't want to do it for families. I want to do it strictly for youth. And so we said, let's do that. So we thought, well, where are we going to have the Jesus Festival? Well, it so happened that Mr. Bosserman and myself had syndicated 172 acres just to the west of the main gate to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to take this dirt road to get up there. It was 172 acres. And we thought, well, let's do it there. And so then I asked him, can we do it? My partner, we'll pay the taxes. We ended up, Mike, we set up actually a city. We had water we brought in, we had McDonald's, we had all this stuff. And so Steve Strang was the director of the youth in the Rock House. We had started that actually at Calvary Charisma.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, well, how are we going to advertise? I said, well, Steve, advertise in this new magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big budget. I think it was a couple $100,000. I mean, it's crazy. And we ended up, we just said, we're going to do it. And that night we did it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days. And on that Wednesday night, I went out and said, oh, my God, is anybody coming? And as far as I could see, there were cars from all over the country. And the first year, we had 12,000. And the last year, we had 30,000. We did it for a total of 5 years. And we had an amazing revival of the Holy Spirit. And we brought, of course, all these well-known speakers all over the country. But that was a move of God.
That was a move of God. When you look back, Alex, and you think of the many, not only preachers that you heard there, speakers who brought the word, but also great musicians, what would be one moment that probably sticks out in your mind more than the rest?
Well, there was a guy by the name of Andrew Crouch. And he was not known, and he was just starting to get known. And we brought in Andrew Crouch.
Yeah, Andre Crouch.
And I'm
telling
you, Andre Crouch. And the place went absolutely, absolutely crazy with his worship and his music. And a good part of our thing there was music. But I mean, it was just the move of God, whether it was a speaker, whether it was a musical group. There was like a cloud of glory over the 172 acres.
Wow.
And just like people were just coming to Christ like crazy. It was just beyond words. It was a move of the Holy Spirit and a fulfillment in the last days that he'll pour out his Spirit on all people.
Mm-hmm. That had to be something to behold when you, as you described, looking out and seeing cars lined up, because, you know, people in that day would have had images of Woodstock and the worldly thing that was going on there.
Yeah.
But who would have believed in that day that there could be a revival and people coming to the Lord, a meeting on like a dirt road in 172 acres in Central Florida. And it just changed so many people. And that's just such a fantastic story. How did you go from all of that to becoming a senior pastor? How did that happen? The call of God, a progressive call of God in your life, pulling you deeper and deeper into the Lord.
It was a special situation where the pastor left the church. And so they asked me to take the church, and I thought about it for a while, and then Jeannie and I felt it was the Lord's will, and so we decided to take Calvary Assembly and see what God wanted to do in the church there. So that would have been over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was still in business, so you know I've kind of always been a business person,
mm-hmm.
and God has just used me. And you know, when I took the church, I thought, isn't it amazing how God prepared me all those years in business to be able to lead a large church?
Mm-hmm.
So God always knows what he's doing.
He does, and the amount of organization and the amount of, just when I think back to the size of the staff, not just pastoral staff, but it was, you mentioned that the Jesus Festival was like a city, and there's no question about it. A large church needs to be run well, and that's where your business experience was really wonderfully helpful. And I just have to say one thing about my experience of coming down and meeting. Of course, our mutual friend Danny Jones would introduce us to each other every time like it were the first time. And that's something I've always joked with Danny. I said, you know, I've met Alex before, and it was great, but I'm the guy from Indiana who came down and then ended up moving here and getting to see you, and so loved, was so moved for you and for your family. Your daughter would have gone, one of your daughters would have gone to school about the same time that one of my daughters did, over at Master's Academy, I believe it was.
Master's Academy. That's it.
Yep. And Stephanie would have known her. I think it was Vangie, if I have her name right. But
Vangie.
Yeah, the whole thing that happened with Jeannie, and just our hearts were broken. So thankful that God gave you those years together, and just hearing the influence. I know that she was a singer with her family, the Alcorn Trio, I believe, before the days that she would have been sitting at a piano before every service and just doing wonderful praise and singing at the piano, just Jeannie. And that was something, again, I know many people, as I'm saying that, will be, their eyes will be filled with tears as they remember back the impact that she had. And when she passed, our hearts were with you. So grateful that God has continued to bless you in your life. And we can talk more about that in a moment. I'm talking to Alex Clattenburg from Church in the Sun, and a man who has been used mightily by God. Just hearing that story, 30,000 people at the last Jesus Festival. that that came down. That was quite a sight to see. I'll be back with Alex coming up in just a moment here on The Shepherd. On the phone with me is Alex Clattenburg, and he's the senior pastor of Church and the Sun. Alex, you mentioned yourself that you're a businessman at heart, but God has just seemingly run over you with his plan, and you found yourself not doing the kind of business that you thought you were going to be doing, and now you're into church planting. You're leaving an organized church that you were helped build for many years, Calvary Assembly, and now the idea is coming to begin a new work called Church and the Sun, planting it from the bottom up. How did that happen?
Well, Mike, first of all, let me thank you for allowing me to be on your program. I'm very honored to be with you. You know, staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit over the years is probably the hardest thing for any of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to get into what we're doing and just do it. And I remember God just speaking to me and telling me to just move forward. And I never thought I would begin a church here in Orlando. I felt that I was going to do a church in Jacksonville. And I told everyone, I used to work in Jacksonville with this other company. And I found out quickly after a day up there that that wasn't God's will. And one day God said, start this new church.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeannie had a great, great part in that. She named the church. She had such a heart for the Spirit and wanting to see a move of God. So it was kind of funny because today you work for a year to start a church. And I think we started a church at the Orlando Arts Center in less than 30 days.
Mm.
And it's amazing. We just started. I bought a sound system for $7,700, and that's all we had. And we just started it, and I did everything. Now, we had a staff at Calvary of 123 approximately, and our budget was up to $7 million 1 year, and now I am doing the bulletin, and now I am renting buildings, and now I am working to get nursery workers. And but it was a God thing. I called Tommy Barnett, who's a dear friend, and Dr. Crandall, and I said, "What do you think about this? Because I think you have to have people in your life that help you, mm-hmm. advise you."
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy said, "Alex, go ahead, start that church." And I thought it should be non-denominational. And we just launched out and didn't have very much at all. But we did trust the Lord for him to come and to move. I had this real heart for, I've always been an idealist, like, I'm not a realist. I'm an idealist. And so my wife helps me be a realist. Alex, you can't do that. So I've always been this idealist, like, we can do this. We can have, because I can't stand religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stand angles. I can't stand, like, trying to make people do something or career, you know, all the things. I don't like any of that. So I thought, I want to have just a really genuine deal here where if God says it, we're going to do it,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to see God move. And so it was that kind of idealism that just having a fluid possibility that there's no one that is there to restrict what the Holy Spirit wants to do. There are no barriers, no walls, no places that, you know, it says, no, you can't do this. So that was the kind of the idealism, like, let's just let the Holy Spirit move, and then let's be professional, and let's have structure, but let's have something that is really powerful with just a lot of love. That's kind of our idealism.
Mm. Well, it's more than idealism. It's reality now. And that's one of those things that God put in your heart. And watching, again, this work grow from the ground up, you didn't stay in rented facilities too terribly long. And you began building with an eye toward just serving God and seeing the people to come together. And I've just heard nothing but great things over the years about that church as well and the impact that you're having. You know, as you look back, it sounds like, and I never heard an end of the story, you never really pulled away completely from your love for business. You were able to keep that love for business while you're doing all these other things as well. And that also is a testimony to just, again, your time management and how God has, I think, wired you. I don't think everybody would be wired the way that you must be, Alex, because you guys have been very successful in what you've done.
Well, thank you. God is good. It's called grace.
Yes, that is right.
It's called grace.
Oh, I
love
it.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Oh, goodness. I remember story after story of seeing you teach and preach both at Calvary Assembly and in the main auditorium as well as in the Johnson Hall. There are those many, many years of going over there and just being impacted and thanking God for the love of an overseer that you have always been for the people who sit under you. I'm talking about Alex Clattenburg. We're going to be back one more time with Alex in just a moment. You hang on. We'll be right back. Back on the phone again with Alex Clattenburg, and what an enjoyable program this has been for me. I have been a fan of Alex since the 70s and love this man, and we talked about the fact that Jeannie passed away. Give us a quick update on how God blessed you with your wife.
Well, first of all, Mike, I want to thank you for having me here with you today. A great honor to be a part of your program. You know, we don't talk very much about the sovereignty of God, but it's amazing how he works sovereignly. When my wife passed away, I decided I would not marry. I would had two teenagers,
mm-hmm.
and I would serve the Lord and minister in the church. Miraculously, God brought Judith Qualls into my life. My dad and her dad pastored in Baltimore. They had six children. We had six children. And so I knew her, and she came into my life, and I had never dated anyone, but God just put it together supernaturally.
Mm.
And she is such a loving, wonderful, godly person who is such a vital part of anything and everything that happens here. And I'm very honored to have her as my wife.
And
so
it's wonderful. And thank God for the blessing that she is to you. And again, I'm just so happy for you and Judith and grateful to God. You guys, like the rest of us, have gone through now with 2020 has not turned out to be quite like what we thought it would be going into this year. I had a little phrase I was using all the time. I'm praying for 2020 foresight, and boy, I wish we would have known what was coming. But we have all seen this coronavirus impact and its effect on churches. I know you guys are being affected just like everybody else. Given the gift of God to get past this soon, what do you think will be the takeaways that churches like Church in the Sun, what would you think those takeaways would be?
If I could digress for a moment to answer that, in the end of last year, I kept getting this word, new, new, new. Just the word new.
Hmm.
And then I got this, the year of the favor of the Lord. And so we go into this new year and this happens. Initially, distraught. However, when I step back from the standpoint of what is God doing, you know, long before we face a problem, God has already provided a plan. Before the rain came down on the earth, God had a plan for Noah and his family. Mm-hmm. Before you saw that Jonah was thrown into the waters, God had prepared a large fish. When the children of Israel were stuck there and they were about to be taken out by the Egyptian army, God had a plan to part the Red Sea. So I started to say, okay, now what is God's plan, rather than focus on all of the, oh my God, will we get to the fire? What, and to step back from that. And I spoke yesterday on heavenly protection, and to see, okay, what is he saying? So I believe what he is saying to the church is that it is time for us to really come awake spiritually, all of us, and to be in a place. I think it's a time for apathy to be addressed, mm-hmm. for double-mindedness. It's a time for inconsistency. It's a time for pushing back all of these sinful behaviors that we've kind of like incorporated in our Christian life as that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I believe the bigger picture is he is getting us prepared. Again, before this happened, he didn't cause it, but certainly he has a plan. He knew before this a plan. He has a plan, and I believe it's Haggai chapter 2. He says he's going to shake the nations of all the earth.
Right.
He's going to shake them. Then he says the latter house will be greater than the former house. The glory of the former house will be greater than the latter house. So there's coming a outpouring of the glory of God on the earth through the church. However, he's shaking everything, and it is going to be so good. Mm-hmm. He's not shaking us to hurt us. It's going to be so good. So I guess I've got this picture of, like, this is going to be so good. Now, one of the best thing ever happened to us, I'm seeing, is that we're not meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. So what's happening? We are working diligently to really see our church be in community. We're doing Zoom groups,
mm-hmm.
and we're believing for every single person to be there, to be loved, cared for, discipled, and helped.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think the Lord is going to do, he is going to, if we're thinking about this right, he is going to bring forth an Acts 2 church, power, miracles, but in the context of community and a genuine love for each other. Anyway, we pray that this thing stop. We pray for the families that have lost loved ones. We pray for our protection. However, that has to include that God is up to something great, and we're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit as never before.
You know, I believe that the first Sunday that churches are able to meet again after this, when we get past all of this, I'm anticipating, and it sounds like you are as well, that there'll be many churches that will be so full, they might even be turning people away. I mean, there's that kind of pent-up desire to fellowship, to meet, to worship corporately, and it could be, you're a guy, Alex, that you have seen revival before, and I'm praying that you get to see it again along with the rest of us, because this could be, like you said, the beginning of great days. And how wonderful it would be if the latter house indeed is greater than what we've known before. That would be wonderful, and I pray that to be the case. Hey, I can't tell you how much I appreciated your being with me today on the program, and it's a treat not only for me but for our listeners as well to hear from you. and to just glean from your wisdom and your experiences. I think back to the many men that you have poured your life into, and those men have done the same to multiple other thousands. And it's just such a great honor to have you here. So thank you, Alex, for being with me today.
Oh, thank you, Mike. It's an honor to be with you, and you're such a great man of God, such a great leader in our country, and the influence that you're having in your ministry through this wonderful radio station. You're affecting thousands and thousands. So I commend you for your leadership, your willingness to stay the course and to do what hasn't been done before. And I believe the Lord would say to you, you're going to see some things happen that you hadn't planned, and it's going to be miraculous.
Well, thank you for that. I will receive that one, my friend. Alex Clattenburg, wow, what an honor. And friends, thank you for being with me as well here. We'll catch you next time on Afternoons with Mike.